And our phone lines, they are open to you if you've got a question for our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. All you got to do is pick up the phone, give us a call, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Love to have you join us this week. And, of course, speaking of being joined, we are joined by our retirement planning professionals, C.J. Kloss and Eric Schwartz. Of course, coming to us from Kloss Financial, their website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Great website to learn more about Kloss Financial. You can also listen back to this and previous shows' podcasts, as well as sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter that's available to you at klossfinancial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. And as mentioned, joining us this morning are C.J. Kloss and Eric Schwartz. C.J., how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Sean. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Good to hear from you. And Eric, how have you been?
I've been great, Sean. I'm excited for our topic today.
It's going to be a good one, a sustainable withdrawal rate, which I feel like, and I know we'll get into this with you guys, but that's probably the biggest thing that folks wonder about, and we'll get some answers, and we'll walk through it with our friends from Kloss Financial this morning. Don't forget, if you've got questions, we've got an opportunity for you to get on the air right now at 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. One of the really cool features as well of the program is the weekly Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. This week, you'll have a chance to win a fantastic prize from our friends at Kloss Financial, a $25 gift card to Cabela's. Little tip, if you pay close attention to the program, just about every show, the question and answer come up during the program, so it's definitely beneficial to pay close attention to the show. And before we get rolling on this week's topic and this week's conversation, let's actually look back at last week's program and get the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week and answer there as well.
Yeah, so thank you to everyone for listening as usual, and congratulations to our winner from last week, who was Bart. And Bart knew the answer to the question, which was true or false: entering retirement with the least amount of debt will give you the most freedom. And the answer to that is, of course, true.
Excellent. I love the name too. So. Congratulations to Bart. Of course, you can have a chance to win a $25 gift card to Cabela's this week. Just pay close attention. We'll tell you a little bit later on all the details about winning with the Kloss Quiz Question Week. So, as mentioned, this week we're going to be digging into a pretty darn big topic, that is planning for a sustainable withdrawal rate from your investment in retirement. And I know people are retiring earlier and we're living longer, so this seems like something you really need to think about, right?
Yeah, but I'm just trying to figure out if everybody knows why you love the name Bart.
Yes, good question.
For those who don't know, Sean loves The Simpsons. So it's, yes, anyway, okay.
Obsessed, Bart. Yes.
Thanks for calling in, Bart. We appreciate it. Okay, yes, so we're talking about sustainable withdrawal rates or distribution rates. So this gets into a topic that I think when consumers think about retirement, one of their questions becomes, hey, how much should I plan to draw out of my accounts without running the risk of running out of money? Said another way, the number one fear of retirees is running out of money before they run out of life. And so a big part of our job is to move towards this topic. Now, believe it or not, as you can imagine, academics are all over this topic in terms of research and analytics. And believe it or not, there's a lot of rules of thumb that the industry abides by that we would say are a great starting spot, but not a great ending spot. We'll get into that a little bit more as we move forward. But cash flow is critical when you enter retirement. When retirees think about risk, again, that number one fear is running out of money. So there are three key factors that we think impact retirement planning. One being the need for real inflation-adjusted cash flow. Number two, the risk of needing to sell investments during a downturn. And then number three, the possibility of decades of lower than average market returns. These are key factors that can impact your retirement planning around these sustainable withdrawal rates. So managing your withdrawal rate to make sure your money lasts throughout retirement plays an essential role in your overall retirement strategy.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and, of course, Eric Schwartz, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Their website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. A great website and great resource to learn more about Kloss Financial and, of course, learn more about the separate divisions, the team, and, of course, sign up for that weekly Market Pulse newsletter. So what exactly, CJ, then would be, Eric, what exactly would be considered a safe withdrawal rate?
It's a good question. That's a million-dollar question, Sean. It's what we spend a lot of our time talking to folks about. And first of all, just thinking about a withdrawal rate, it's often expressed as a percentage. And like CJ said, there's a lot of rules of thumb out there. I'm sure a lot of people have heard the 4% rule. You can draw out 4% and be safe. That's a good starting point. Not exactly something that works for everybody. But the withdrawal rate or a safe withdrawal rate is one that strikes the balance between, you know, drawing money out and enjoying retirement now, but also ensuring that you don't run out of money, which, as CJ said, is one of the biggest concerns we hear from retirees. And really, it's not just about what you need to live. It also depends on other income sources you have, like, you know, Social Security, pensions, if you're working part-time. And it also depends on your age. Special expenses like healthcare before Medicare kicks in at 65, or even your debt load going into retirement, which is what we talked a lot about last week. All these things play a role. So the key is understanding how sustainable your withdrawal rate is, especially when you factor in inflation and other market conditions as well.
Talking this morning with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, CJ Kloss, and of course, Eric Schwartz. I mentioned the website. I mentioned, of course, signing up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. I mentioned to you a little bit about some of the features and some of the cool things with it. Of course, it's got a great little snapshot of what's been going on in the marketplace. Also, it has a link to your most recent podcast. Again, just head on over to klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com for your opportunity to subscribe to the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. And of course, learn more about Kloss Financial all online. Great day to set up that appointment, 608-442-5637. Don't forget that first appointment to you at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary, no charge. That's 608-442-5637. Talking this week about a sustainable withdrawal rate from your retirement investments. And so as we work through these numbers, kind of a reasonable withdrawal rate, what's kind of that area that we're going to look to, Eric, to avoid running out of money?
Yeah, this is going to come back to our favorite answer here. It depends, right? Yes. We love to say that and we joke about it, but it's true, you know, and this is why we think it's important that folks have professionals in their lives to help them plan for retirement. But your age, your financial situation, and your goals, one of which is whether or not you want to leave money behind after you're no longer here, all of these things factor in. So when we're thinking about, you know, what is a reasonable withdrawal rate, I mentioned there's kind of those rules of thumb. Well, you can draw out 4%. Well, it's a good spot to start, but it also depends on a lot of things, right? It depends on how you're invested, right? So if you're more conservative, the expected return on your investment portfolio is not going to be as high, which impacts how much you can draw out and you know, how much your portfolio can be expected to replace what you take out. Your retirement timeline, your current age, and I think the other piece here is the other income sources you have, because the thing about your withdrawal rate is for a lot of our clients and a lot of folks out there, your withdrawal rate isn't the same all through retirement. Okay, so you may have, as I mentioned earlier, you may have higher expenses earlier in retirement because you're not yet 65, you have to pay for higher medical expenses. You may not yet have started Social Security. So, you know, it's not uncommon for folks to have a higher withdrawal rate in the earlier parts of retirement that then reduces later on when they turn on their Social Security benefits and when they get onto Medicare and lower their healthcare costs. So for some people, you know, a 3% or a 4% withdrawal rate might be sustainable. And then for other people, you know, they might be able to handle a little bit higher withdrawal rate, maybe if they retire later or they have some other sources of income. But the aim is to stay ahead of inflation and be able to maintain the lifestyle you want. So just because the market returns 10% in a year doesn't mean you want to take out the full 10%, because there will be years in the future where the market doesn't return 10% or maybe has a negative return, and we need to account for that with the good years as well.
That's really important to remember. I know, as you know, we've kind of looked at where recent memory of how the market's been going. Like, oh yeah, no problem. It's like, yeah, but I know we've covered those topics in great depth as well in previous programs. You can always listen back at klaasfinancial.com. That's Klaas, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Talking this week with CJ and Eric about sustainable withdrawal rate from your retirement investments. And so as we work through some of these areas of you know, what that number is and what's reasonable, those type of things, how much then, CJ, of our pre-retirement income should we then be planning on when it comes to being replaced in retirement?
Well, I bet you can guess at the answer, Sean.
It depends?
It depends, yes. Yeah. You know, before we get to the replacement percentage, I want to really emphasize that section that Eric mm-hmm. went through. You know, what is the rate? And everybody wants to know, what's the rate or how much money should I have? And unfortunately, just like anything meaningful in life, there's subtlety to these answers. And so, you know, we have a lot of tools actually in our organization, things that create what are called like guardrail mathematic algorithms, processes that we can follow to make sure that if markets hit what are called high standard deviation events or unlikely events like an 08, that we can make adjustments as necessary to make sure that people don't run out of money. But I will tell you, I've seen people in the industry just abide by a rule of thumb. I'm saying people who do like what we do, they go, I don't know, 4% at all times. And I'm just scratching my head going, whoa. And it's not that I don't understand the rule of thumb and just keeping it simple, but I'll be frank, there's many of our clients that early on will be pulling 10%. Mm. And then maybe they drop down to 2 and then they go back to up to 8. There's people who retire later on in life who they don't want to leave money to their children. So we have them at an 8 or 9% withdrawal rate. And again, if you don't know the context of those comments, that could scare you. But when you build context around those comments, around those withdrawal rates, suddenly the plan comes to life. So if you are just abiding by rules of thumb as it relates to withdrawal rates, I would say warning, warning, warning. Rules of thumb were never designed to be custom solutions. Okay, now to your question, what is the, you know, target replacement rate? So when we say this, everybody, think of it this way. I'm working, earning $100,000 a year as a household, let's say myself and a spouse or myself alone, and then I transition into retirement. So how much of that income will I need to replace, that gross salary that I had while I was working, how much of that income will I need to replace in order to live the same lifestyle? And as I said, it depends greatly. But let me just tell you one important factor. If your objective is to replace the same kind of lifestyle, and if everything else in your life is held constant, meaning expenses do not change at all when you enter retirement, you will need less gross income in retirement than you did when you were working. Let me repeat that. If you hold everything else constant in the background, and you're working as a household earning $100,000 a year, and then you transition into retirement with the exact same cost structure, you will need less gross income. And a lot of people scratch their head and go, what are you talking about? Well, a few things. Number one, you were probably saving some of that money into a 401k plan while you were working. But even if you weren't doing that, you were paying something called FICA taxes that you do not pay when you are in retirement, drawing off Social Security, pensions, or retirement accounts. So by definition, you will need less. The question is how much less? And that answer varies greatly person by person, especially if you followed our advice and paid off a mortgage right mm-hmm. before you retired. So listen, we have seen people need 30% of their pre-retirement income. We have seen people need 90% of their pre-retirement income. Now, with all of this rambling out of the way, according to a 2024 study by MassMutual, the average actual retirement age in the United States is now closer to age 62. So the interesting part about that is at 62, how much do I need to replace? You don't know, because there could be interesting things that pop up in the background, which, like Eric mentioned this before. What if my company was covering health insurance? Now I'm 62. I'm not yet to Medicare at 65, and I've got this potentially expensive Affordable Care Act health insurance. So listen, if anybody gives you a gimmicky response that you need 80% of your pre-retirement income, nobody knows without doing a detailed analysis of your financial situation. So even when you hear me talking about this, what I'm really trying to tell you is do the math. Sit down with an advisor, do the math to figure out what it is that you will need.
Really important conversation, and it's a great conversation to have as well and get those plans in place. It's never too early to start that conversation. It's a great day to call the folks at Claus Financial. Their telephone number is 608-442-5637. Don't forget that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Claus Financial. It is complimentary to you. All you got to do is pick up the phone, give them a call, 608-442-5637. You can learn more online, the website, ClausFinancial.com. That's Claus, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. And again, the telephone number 608-442-5637. Well, what happens when you turn 73? We'll get the details on that and much, much more as Money in Motion with Claus Financial continues next right here on 1310 WIBA. Phone lines are open at 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. If you have questions for our retirement planning professionals from Claus Financial, love to have you join us this morning. Again, telephone number to get on the air, 608-321-1310. The telephone number for Claus Financial, so easy to remember. That's 608-442-5637. I get a lot of folks actually coming up to me and they say, Preble, I hear that number in my head constantly. There's a reason why we do it that way, because it's an important number. 608-442-5637 for Claus Financial. The website, ClausFinancial.com. That's Claus, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Talking this week with Eric Schwartz and CJ Claus, talking about the sustainable withdrawal rate from your retirement investments. CJ, as we were just talking that last segment about pre-retirement income and replacing that income in retirement. The age 73, and people are going, 73? I don't know that we've touched on 73 yet. Something does happen there, and there are rules about taking money out. What do folks need to know, and how does that work, CJ?
Yeah, you're talking about required minimum distributions, known as RMDs for short, and some people like to even confuse it beyond that to call it MRDs, minimum required distributions. It's all the same thing. It references the age at which you become required to start pulling out minimum distributions from your pre-tax retirement accounts. Now, there can be an exception to this if you have an employer sponsor. If you're still working at a company where you have pre-tax money, you can often defer pulling out that required distribution of that particular plan. But most people are retired by 73, right? So most people are retired. They've got their money, whether it be in a 401k, and we'll call it an old non-contributory 401k, 403b, or IRAs. And when you turn 73, you have to start pulling out these minimum distributions. Now, for those of you who are listening, scratching your heads, going, 73? I thought it was 70 and a half, and then I thought it was 72. And then I've also heard this number 75. So yeah, there's some information on that right now. So if you were born after 1960, your RMD age will be 75. If you were born before 1960 and you are not yet 73, then your RMD age will be 73. Now, some of you who are listening on the air right now go, no, I started drawing at 70 and a half or 72. That's true. For you, it was a different age. But for people now who are turning 73, it's 73. And for anybody born after 1960, which Eric and I should be raising our hands right now, our RMD age will be 75. Now, RMDs, what the heck are these things? Well, first things first, you need to take your first required minimum distribution by April 1st of the year after you turn 73. This is known as your required beginning date, or RBD. I just laugh at how complicated our industry makes us. Most of the time, you do not want to push off your first RMD to the following year, because every subsequent RMD must be pulled out by December 31st. So if you're tracking with me, let's say I turn 73 this year. My required beginning date is April 1st of 2026, next year. But if I do that and I push off my first one to next year, then I also have to pull next year's by December 31st, meaning I will have to double up on RMDs in 2026. And every year thereafter, it has to be out by December 31st. So listen, under most circumstances, talk to your advisor, talk to your accountant, but under most circumstances, you're going to want to pull out that first RMD in the year in which you turn RMD age, which is typically 73.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz, our retirement planning professionals. They come to us from Kloss Financial, the website klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Telephone number 608-442-5637. That a first appointment at Kloss Financial, that get to know you conversation, it'll be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. So the big why of all of this, CJ, is why does the IRS require us to do RMDs?
Yeah, great question. So, because it is weird. It's like, what's happening? So I put in money pre-tax, it grows tax deferred, and then like I get to retirement, they're forcing me to pull money out. Yes. So I don't want to get too deep into the weeds, but it actually makes a lot of sense behind the scenes if you understand this. And here's the simple concept. If money doesn't exit the, we'll call it the ecosystem of finance. So think of this as, I earn a dollar, I pay income taxes. I use that dollar to go buy goods and services. I pay sales taxes. Those people pay a salary for the people that work at the place where I bought the goods and services. They pay income taxes. They go buy something. My dollar is in circulation constantly, like all the time. And the federal government and state agencies and municipalities generate tax revenue off of that, I don't know, 100 times in a year, like just a bunch. Well, if I remove that money from the in circulation and I set it into retirement accounts, well, imagine how much tax revenue is being lost by state and local governments, by municipalities, by federal governments. It's massive. And therefore, the government has to, in order to remain in business, I shouldn't say in business, in order to function, they have to figure out ways to not allow all that money to stay outside of the taxable circulation for too long. So that's why they say, hey, I don't care if you need the money or not. When you turn 73 or at some age, we got to force you to start pulling out that money, because when you pull it out, it re-enters general circulation and starts getting taxed again. So that's the why. And then RMDs are based on the balance of your retirement accounts at the end of the year, or I should say at the end of the previous year, divided by your life expectancy from the IRS tables. So there's a table. You can right now go to Google and just put in RMD table. It'll pop up. You'll find some of the recent tables used for this. But there's a life expectancy factor. So you take your December 31st value of all of your pre-tax retirement accounts. You divide it by that life expectancy table based upon your age, and then it gives you a number. That number ends up representing about 3.6 to 3.7%. of your pre-tax amount has to come out in the first year you turn RMD age. And that percentage gets larger every single year you move forward. So effectively what's happening is they're forcing you to pull more and more and more in percentage terms out of your pre-tax retirement accounts every single year you move forward. Now, a couple of quick things here. RMDs do not apply to Roth IRAs unless they're inherited. And the reason is because there's nothing for the IRS to get out of forcing you to pull money out of a Roth IRA. Remember, when money comes out of Roth IRAs, assuming you're over 59 and a half, there's no tax due. Therefore, there is no RMD on Roth IRAs or Roth 401ks as of 2024. That's actually a new rule. There used to be RMDs on those. Now, the key here is there is an RMD if you inherited the Roth IRA, but there's just not one if it was your own. And listen, if you don't need the money, often people say, this is highway robbery. I don't need the money and I'm pulling it out and I'm paying taxes. This is terrible. Well, there is a get out of jail free card. And the get out of jail free card is you can give all that money, all that RMD money, directly to a charity. This is known as doing a qualified charitable distribution, a QCD. And you can pull all of that money out, give it directly to charities, and two things happens. It counts towards meeting your minimum distribution, and you don't have to claim it you have to file the 1099, but then just notify your accountant that it all went to charities, and you don't end up paying income taxes on that. So there is that get out of jail free card. But you'll want to talk to your accountant to make sure you're doing this all the right way.
It's a really neat feature, and I know we've talked in quite quite great depth on QCDs and what a great, powerful tool they are. And of course, you can always listen back to this and previous shows, podcasts, of course, get caught up on QCDs and other things, all at KlaasFinancial.com. That's Klaas, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Klaas Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. We'll talk about the importance of savings. We'll also talk about a great question from Scott with the Money in Motion Listener Question Corner. We will do all of that next as Money in Motion with Klaas Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. Talking with our retirement planning professionals, CJ Klaas and Eric Schwartz. Of course, they come to us from Klaas Financial. Their website, KlaasFinancial.com. That's Klaas, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. Talking about a sustainable withdrawal rate from your investment for retirement. And, you know, we've been talking about all these different investments. What about emergency savings? I'm going to guess that that's important, right?
Yeah. You know, this is something that I often have clients question me about because we encourage them to still have liquidity and have an adequate emergency fund, even when they're in retirement. And people will say to me, well, Eric, what does it matter? I'm retired. I can access my retirement account if I need extra money or if something comes up. There's a couple of reasons why I would encourage people to still have an emergency fund. Number one, oftentimes if you need to take money from your retirement account, there are taxes due upon drawing money out, which is fine if it's all part of your annual income plan. But if it's additional income that you weren't planning on taking out, suddenly we're increasing our taxable income. Maybe we're impacting our health insurance premiums. So it's just good to have an easy fund to access that you don't have to worry about paying taxes on. And the other piece of it is, as people move into retirement, there are plenty of changes. They're not going to work every day. They are, trying to find new routines, and there's just a lot of change going on. So if you can reduce the amount of things that you need to adjust to, and you can treat your cash flow the same way you did, like you have all the years you've been working, that just really goes a long way in making the transition to retirement easier. So don't reinvent the wheel just because you're moving into retirement. So aim for a 3 to 6 month cash reserve, 3 to 6 months of living expenses. Remember, you're still going to have unexpected events in retirement, a medical bill, home repair. Any of that can still come up even though you're not working anymore. And one thing we do tell people as they are really closing in on retirement, maybe in that last 12 months, if you don't have a lot of liquid cash available, but you do have quite a bit in your retirement accounts, you might consider kind of shifting your focus from adding to the retirement accounts in order to build up that solid emergency fund before you move into retirement. And the last piece of this is, as you're looking to build that emergency fund, don't make it complicated. Set up an automatic transfer from your checking into a high yield savings or a money market account. Think of it as, the classic pay yourself first. And just like I said, don't make it complicated and help yourself out as you move in on retirement.
Nobody ever regrets having a little extra money just set aside for important things that can happen. That is for sure. As we talked this morning with Eric Schwartz and CJ Klaas, our retirement planning professionals from Klaas Financial. The website, KlaasFinancial.com. That's Klaas, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Great website. And one of the great things you can do on the website is submit a question to be answered in our Money in Motion Listener Question Corner. And this week, Scott wrote in, he had the following question. He said, my wife and I are planning on selling our house when we retire, but we are concerned about the gains we might experience. Any suggestions on how to avoid taxes on those gains? And CJ, I'll leave this one for you.
Yeah, well, thanks for the question, Scott. Again, everybody, feel free to submit a question on our website, and we'll throw it into these questions at the end. And also, feel free to call in during the show if you have a live question. We do always like to see if anybody can stump us. So, when selling your primary residence, Scott, there are definitely some tax benefits that could help reduce or even eliminate the capital gains tax you might owe. So if you've lived in and owned your home for at least 2 out of the last 5 years before the sale, you may qualify for what's called the primary residence or the home sale exclusion. This allows you to exclude up to $250,000 of capital gains if you're single, or up to $500,000 if you're married filing jointly. So for example, Scott, if you and your wife sell your house and your gain is less than $500,000, you likely won't owe any taxes on that amount of gain when you go to sell it. Now, a couple other quick things. Just be aware of if you've done any improvements, because some people say, well, you know, I bought it for $100,000 30 years ago. I'm selling it for now $700,000. So, you know, that's more than $500,000 of gain. So I guess I'm going to get blown up. Well, a couple things. You would only pay tax on the portions that's over the $500,000. So it's not that the whole thing becomes taxable. And number two, keep track of your home improvement expenses, because I'll bet over that 20 or 30 year time frame in my example that, you know, you've put some money into the house. You've probably done some fix-ups and maybe replaced the roof, remodeled the kitchen. You get the idea. It is not only your original purchase plus all of the improvements that you've made along the way. And then finally, just for Scott and everybody else, if you are close to retirement but not quite yet there, make sure you meet the ownership and residence requirements to qualify for this exclusion that I'm talking about. So even if you've rented out your house for a period, as long as you meet the 2 out of 5 year rule, you should still qualify under most circumstances. However, in all of this, talk to your accountant, talk to your financial advisor, because the penalty for being wrong on all of this is pretty stiff. So just make sure you talk to them to know what to expect when you go to sell your house.
Great guidance, as always, CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. You can learn more online, the website klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Telephone number for the office right here in Madison, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial. Get to know your appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number is 608-442-5637. You want to hold on to that telephone number as well. It's time now for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I'll ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the correct caller, first correct caller with the correct answer, you will win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Cabela's. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this: true or false? According to a 2024 study by MassMutual, the average actual retirement age in the United States is closer to age 62. Is that true or is that false? Telephone number 608-442-5637. First caller with the correct answer will win the $25 gift card to Cabela's. Don't forget as well, that's Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison. Again, that number 608-442-5637. CJ, Eric, great chatting with both of you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Dr. Greer comes your way next from Checkout Vet here on 1310 WIBA.